Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, and as usual, that means it's time for The Other Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Stacy McCann.
And I'm not, folks. It's John Hogue here, the other guy on The Other Podcast, and I'm going to bet that whatever technical difficulties have been resolved and that we can hear Diana from Valdosta. Loud and clear.
We can hear you.
Yes. Okay. This is amazing. I am so happy to be able to actually hear you guys clearly. It's great.
Okay. What happened? Did John spend the week working you through the...
No, it's just working. Whatever the glitch was has gone away.
Yay. So. Well, welcome, Diana. How are you doing?
We have had the most amazingly air-clearing thunderstorm you would have ever seen in your entire life today. From about 4:30 to about 5:30, we had lightning, we had thunder, we had downpour. It was wonderful. And now the skies are clearing. It's all calm. It's all beautiful. And I'm pretty sure that had something to do with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I developed an affinity for thunderstorms when I worked in radio, and you'd go out and watch the lightning hit the tower.
Yeah, the thunderstorms down south are more severe, I think, than anywhere.
Right on the dry line, where in Tornado Alley in Kansas, Oklahoma, I used to enjoy driving at night and watching the lightning hit the grain elevators in Kansas. But you're right. We have better thunderstorms in the south than most of the country.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that in Fremont, I'm riding down. I like to bicycle. I love bicycling. And I'm riding down Niles Canyon, and the sun is going down, and this thunderstorm just rolls in out of nowhere, which never happens.
Hey, Diana, can you just turn up your mic pot just a little bit?
I'm sorry.
Give us just a little more. A little more. A little more. Nice. Green lights all the time.
Okay, yeah. Great. Sorry.
There you go.
Now I was getting green lights. I guess, never mind. It's okay. You're the techie. I just do what you
Occasional yellow lights when you get enthusiastic or even...
By the way, folks, you can find my good friend John Hogue's blogging at hoguewatch.com.
Yes, and there's even technical and scientific stuff there from time to time, like the astronomy post of the day. But Stacy, on the other hand, has a much broader... based blog than mine at theothermccain.com. You can also find his scribblings at other fine spots around the interwebs like spectator.org.
Yes, and the breaking news today is that they have captured Opal Wallace.
Yes.
Yes, it's right at the top of my blog, theothermccain.com. Opal Wallace was arrested at what seems to be a black militia compound in Georgia. Opal Wallace shot a Daytona Beach policeman in the head on Wednesday night. What had happened was...
You know, he's lucky he got caught in Georgia.
What had apparently happened is the police officer was answering a call about suspicious activity, and I don't know the story of why Othal Wallace was sitting in his car, but this attracted the officer's attention, and he walked over to question him, and Wallace started to get out of the vehicle, and the guy said, no, sit back down. And he was just trying to find out what was going on. And out of nowhere, Wallace pulled a pistol and shot him in the head. The officer's still alive. He underwent surgery, but obviously to get shot in the head is some pretty thing. Wallace took off. Now, it was known that he was associated with the NFAC. Now, folks, I'm not going to tell you what NFAC stands for, but it's a group that was formed in 2017 to protest against police brutality. Anyways, and they turned into this dangerous militia. And it was known that he was associated with it, and the police had technology helped them trace him to the Atlanta area, where he was captured on a 3-acre property in DeKalb County, Georgia. Now, it says here that they captured him about 2:30 a.m. Saturday morning in a remote area of DeKalb County. Now, folks, if you're from Georgia, you know that DeKalb County sits right next to Atlanta. It's a very urban sort of place. And the idea that there would be a 3-acre property anywhere in DeKalb County shocks me. But no part of that county is, quote-unquote, remote.
Well, there's some areas with parks and everything, and somebody might have a spot over by one of those that you know, you'd have to walk a couple of hundred feet to get to. People's idea of remote is lazier than others.
Well, they had every cop, they had a lot of cops. They had the U.S. Marshals Task Force and everybody hunting for this guy, and they found him in a treehouse. Where he had multiple flashbangs, rifle plates, body armor, 2 rifles, 2 handguns, and several boxes of ammunition.
Yeah.
There were 2 other buildings.
Sounds
on
like
the
one of my closets.
Property.
What kind of a treehouse was this? I mean, well, I'm sorry, but a treehouse, in my experience, usually is a little tiny platform and 3 kids sitting with their knees touching.
Well, yeah, this is a southern thing where you actually build houses in the trees.
Well, I don't know about this, but it said that there was 4 other people on the property, and they found, quote, a large arsenal of weapons in the main residence on the property.
But, you know, this guy is really lucky that he got caught in Georgia, because if he did, typically you shoot a cop in Florida, mm-hmm. and I remember my favorite story is someone shot a Florida trooper, and he got caught by the sheriff's department in the next county over. And during the news conference, they asked the sheriff why they shot him 87 times, and the sheriff's reply was, "We ran out of ammo."
Yeah, that was Sheriff Grady Judd in Polk County. Guys, if you're on the run, stay away from Polk County. That Grady Judd is a pretty bad dude. But apparently he surrendered peacefully, and they put the handcuffs of the cop he shot on him. Okay, so he is now in custody. And by the way, this, you know, we have been told over and over again that white supremacy is the great terrorist threat here. And this completely contradicts that narrative. So
it must not be making a whole lot of national news.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think that MSNBC viewers and CNN viewers probably have no idea about this story.
You're probably right. On the other hand, they probably did hear about the condo in Florida.
Oh yes. Well, folks, if you're looking for some cheap real estate. No, I shouldn't be joking about this.
What else are you going to do?
It's about 100 people believed to have died.
There's something so horrible, the only thing you can do is make bad jokes.
Ah, you read my blog.
I did.
One of the things, this was this building that collapsed in Surfside, Florida. We're back in Florida again.
Boy, well, we're going to spend a lot of time in Florida today.
All of the news is out of Florida. Trying to say that this is Miami. It's in Miami-Dade County, but it's up the coast from Miami property. Champlain Towers, a complex built in the early 80s, and we're now finding out that there was engineering reports about the problem, about the building before they were warned that they had a problem. But anyways, the thing collapsed, and at least four people are dead. And, you know, 100 missing, I don't know. We got the number of people reported missing has changed a few times. But anyway, it really bad. And this happened early Thursday morning. And as I was reading about this, one of the things I found out was that someone had recently paid $2.8 million for a penthouse suite in this very building.
Talk about not doing your due diligence before making an important purchase.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that they had insurance. I just hope that they live to collect it. But if you want to, I think the resale value on the remaining property is negligible at
this
point.
Well, the building's going to have to be demolished.
Yeah. And this is going to...
But that's all right. They can rent from some of the billionaire landlords that are showing up.
This was something I put up this morning after reading a post at Ace of Spades headquarters. When I first read it, I thought it was actually Ace himself, but it's one of his co-bloggers who goes by the name Buck Throckmorton, the billionaire landlord. Cartel. Back in April, the Wall Street Journal did a feature story about what's going on here. Namely, that investment companies are now buying up suburban homes with the purpose of renting them. Okay, that rental residential properties in the suburbs, and they're competing, of course, against ordinary, you know, couples trying to buy their first home. Like it has driven up real estate costs, and a lot of people are just basically being priced out of the home market because of this.
Yep.
And it's bad.
Yeah, but okay, think about what's going on here. What do you expect the economy to do over the next 4 years?
Crash.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Now, liberals don't buy gold. They buy real estate. Okay? I mean, it's just...
Wait. They haven't been seeing all these William Devane commercials on TV?
Well, they don't watch MSNBC that late.
Well, I will say this. I have a good friend...
Roslyn Capital!
I have a friend here who's a realtor. And she actually had one client who had placed six offers
bids
on property,
And
he lost five of them. Five people outbid him, and he only just got this last one. She's talking about there are people walking in offering 10, 20, 30,000, and this is in Valdosta. More than the asking price, and they don't care if it appraises for that.
Yeah.
Right.
But my son Jim and his wife. Okay, they have been looking to move, and they went out and saw a property, they put in a bid on it. They got outbid by someone who paid cash, offered cash. And this was, and I heard about it. Now, The thing is, see, if you've got a home to, if you're looking to move up, which is where my son is, because they own a home, but they're looking to, you know, find some place out in the countryside with some acreage is what they're looking for, because my daughter-in-law loves her some animals, so she wants to she wants acres so that she can have a menagerie.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, anyways, but this, but the thing is that, you know, people are saying, wow, I sold my home for more than I listed it for. Okay, fine. Now go buy one. Yeah. Because you can't. Okay, that it is very difficult right now for people to find anything.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, we're having people moving out of Montgomery County, which is immediately abuts D.C., in PG County, and coming out to Carroll County. It's just right at the threshold of paying for a commute down to the district. And, you know, they're selling their houses for cash for $1 million and buying a larger house for $400,000 in some place like Eldersburg or Westminster. And there's a lot of that going on. If you bought a house 35 years ago for $250,000 and sell it now for $1 million, you actually have you have to bury the cash in something. So there's some of that going on, but there are also people who are liquidating investments that they think are going to tank over the next 4 years, which is probably fairly smart. And they're taking the cash and putting it into real estate.
And I don't blame them.
No, neither would I. But, I mean, you're going to see all sorts of stuff going on like that. I had it looks like I've got a new series of posts to start. one called That 70s Show. One of the posts this week says, why, yes, prices do seem to be rising a bit faster than they did over the past few years. And it has a graph that I pulled down that shows personal consumption expenditures, excluding food and energy, and the rate of increase. And it's bouncing between 1.5% and 2% over the last 4 years. And then over the last year, it takes a real nosedive in the first part of 2000, and then comes back up almost to the same level at the end of 2020. And then all of a sudden just zooms up, you know, like 4%.
Yeah,
4%, all of a sudden, like in a quarter. How could that have happened?
You know, the Fed has been grossly irresponsible for the past 20 years. What happened is that we were having, you know, if you remember the 90s, okay.
I'm so old, I remember the 40s.
Sorry.
But if I remember the 90s.
if you think back to the 90s, we had that dip in 91, 92, that brief recession. And then Clinton got elected and sort of started strangling the economy, which, but nevertheless, you had the dot-com bubble, the tech bubble of the late 1990s, and then that collapsed. And so Bush and George W. Bush, when he became president, inherited an economy that was kind of like still a little bit wobbly, but, then 9/11 happened, and what happened was, if you'll remember, that they were so worried that this would lead to a financial crisis that they slashed the prime rate at the Fed. And then, you know, it was very low throughout Bush's term, and that led to, you know, okay, cheap money. Okay, if you know anything about the Fed and everything. Cheap money produced the housing bubble.
Well, there's one other bit of toxic stuff there, and that was the giveaway loans to unqualified people.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Now,
but
wait a sec. Wait one sec. In 1996, when I bought my first townhouse, I probably was what any sensible loan officer might have regarded as an unqualified buyer. On the other hand, it worked out for everyone. So, you know.
Anyways, the housing bubble that swole up and busted and collapsed in 2008, again, you know, after that, they slashed rates even further. Throughout Obama's administration, the prime rate was effectively zero, if not below zero, okay? They were paying people, here, take some money. And they were just, you know, in this liquidity that was just being thrown into the market. Well, but, you know, it's just been, it never stopped. And then you get now, you know, Biden gets in office and they're throwing away trillions of dollars in COVID relief, which turns out to be, I understand that this extra unemployment, half of it was swindled away by foreigners. Criminals got half of that money, that extra money that's out there. And you can't hire anybody, by the way, because the extra unemployment benefits are so generous.
Well, there are a couple of states where you can go on unemployment and the other COVID stuff and make the equivalent of $50,000 a year.
What am I even doing? I don't know. It's just crazy. It's absolutely, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like, why would I want to work for $15 an hour minimum wage when I make the equivalent of $25 on unemployment?
Yeah, it's just murder, man. It's just absolute.
Well, no, the murders happen other ways, Stacey, and you wrote about that. Murder did not take a holiday last week.
No. Folks, last weekend, America celebrated for the first time
nationally
the official federal holiday known as Juneteenth. And, well, how did America celebrate it? Well, in many communities, they celebrated with mass shootings. I'm told that there were 10 mass shootings the weekend of Juneteenth, including Oakland, California, Granger, Indiana, Aurora, Colorado, Flint, Michigan, Clover, South Carolina, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I'm some very cursory research suggests that these aren't Trump voters, okay? These aren't the right-wing extremists committing these mass shootings, if you know what I mean. And I
think
they're
not even voters at all in some cases.
Yeah, they're juveniles, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the week before Juneteenth, there had been a mass shooting in downtown Austin's famed entertainment district, and this was in the wee hours of a weekday morning.
Yeah.
And yet there were apparently teenagers out on the streets with guns, and so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, school is out, and I can understand teenagers being out late in the summer,
but not that late,
and not with those kinds of guns.
Well, here's a question: what?
Didn't their moms ever tell them, "Hey, nothing good ever happens after midnight. Be home before midnight." Come on, my parents told me that, and my folks were not exactly, you know, like. They were not what are referred to as strict parents. They were very tolerant of me and my wandering.
Well, here's something, okay? The kid known as JT, Jeremiah Tabb, 17 years old, was from Killeen, Texas. Killeen, Texas is 70 miles from Austin. So ask yourself, why are these teenagers from 70 miles away swaggering around in downtown Austin after midnight with pistols in their pants?
Well, I mean, just getting back to why were they in Austin, have you ever been to Killeen?
There ain't not much there, is there?
Well, there's Fort Hood.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the obvious implication, what I would presume, was that they were down there looking to jack somebody's car or something. They certainly weren't up to no good.
Well, the thing is, if they were up to causing that kind of trouble, quite frankly, you try that stuff on the street in Killeen and there's enough soldiers to get your ass kicked.
Yeah. Well, anyways, this...
The biggest question I've got about all these mass shootings is the Stacy. Where are they getting the ammo?
Because I can't find it for love or nor money.
Right. Is it that bad out there?
Oh, it's horrible.
The last time I went shopping, the reason I was able to buy ammo. It's because they had some 16 gauge, and I actually have a 16 gauge shotgun, right? But you know, it was hard to find. It's been hard to find even 22. Mm-hmm. And if you want 9mm, they just look at you like, you want what?
Oh my goodness! I missed this. I was just doing some research. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to apologize.
Oh.
To Jeremiah Tabb, prosecutors dropped the charges, and this was this week.
Huh?
They dropped the charges against Jeremiah Tabb and a second teenager, a minor, a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
They have now identified the person who got murdered.
Yeah.
Okay. Douglas Cantor, a 25-year-old tourist. Police have now issued a murder warrant. And hang on a second. For DeAndre Jamiris White, 19, of Killeen. So apparently, DeAndre White is
right.
Now our suspect.
But the point is that, you know, what were these kids doing in that place at that time of the morning?
Yeah, yeah. So we don't know, I'm sure that before this is all said and done, we'll see the surveillance video, and this will all be narrated so that we understand what actually happened. You know, surveillance video has made it much better, in terms of prosecuting, apprehending and prosecuting crimes like this, because, it's like the thing about the police officer that was shot down in Daytona Beach. You got body cam. I don't have to give you any allegedly about Othol Wallace allegedly shot the cop. No, we saw it with our own two eyes.
Which is going to be interesting, trying to get trying to impanel juries about this sort of stuff. But anyway, but getting back to, you know, where are they getting all this ammunition? It just I can't.
Rogue gun dealers. Perhaps.
No, I don't think it's rogue gun dealers. I think there may be some theft involved, but. You know, here's the point. Diana was saying, you know, she can't find ammo for love nor money. I mean, it doesn't matter how hard people are hitting my tip jar. You know, this stuff just isn't there. Speaking
I'm
of
serious.
The tip jar.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, I was trying to just find 500 rounds of ball ammunition, reloaded for God, heaven's sake, wad cutters, for practice. And just for practice, I mean, I'm down, I'm just looking for 500 rounds of .45, granted, because I like .45, but honestly, it's like...
All she wanted was 500 rounds of 45 cal. Hey, criminals, if you're anywhere near Lowndes County, stay away. I can tell you what intersection she lives at. Don't go near that. She'll kill you.
Well,
what I'm aiming at is what makes it even scarier.
Lucky Gunner had various brands of GI ball, and they did have 500 round lots of it, but you're looking at like 75 cents a round.
Yes, I'm sorry, but that's stupid.
75 cents a round?
Yeah, it should be like 12 at most.
Well, look, people are charging 40, 50 cents a round for 22s.
I know.
You see why I need people to hit my tip jar? Let's talk about the yellow button now.
All right, folks, if you will go to my blog, this is the time at which we interrupt our free broadcast with the shameless capitalism. If you will go to my blog, theothermccain.com, in the top center, near the top of the center column, you will see a yellow button with the word donate on it. If you will click the yellow button, it will take you to my PayPal account to where you can contribute to the support of the blog and also to support the podcast and to make my wife happy, which is the main thing, is because, I'm just wasting my time if nobody ever hits the tip jar, and I hate to waste time. And so the yellow button is the way to support the blog and the podcast. Meanwhile, over at my good friend John Hogue's blog, Hoguewash.com.
Over in the sidebar, over there on the right, at the top of the sidebar, over there on the right, you'll see an icon of a tip jar. Click on that. It will take you away to my PayPal account where you can help support the blog with a donation, or you can scroll down and click on the icon of a hat and be taken off to the Hoguewash store and spend all sorts of money on interesting, I'm going to use that noun, that verb, interesting, and then the noun this week will be stuff. Interesting stuff branded in various ways that relate to the blog. Or you can shop using the Amazon links that you'll find at Hoguewash or the other McCain, and we get cuts of the action there as well. Regardless, please remember the five most important words in the English language.
Hit the freaking tip jar.
Amen.
And we're so glad to hear that.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
By the way, guys, if you want to know how to give more effectively, contact me. I will help you.
And I can testify, folks who are looking for good support and investigations related to not-for-profits and that sorts of things, mm-hmm. that Diana is wonderfully good at her research.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, they got the guns came from gun dealers. We know that. Unless they stole them off the back of the truck, on the way out of Smith & Wesson or Ruger or wherever they came from.
Yeah,
the guns came from
gun
dealers.
Back in the midst of time in some cases.
Yes. Well, but the point is that it's these, the president would have us believe it's these rogue gun dealers.
Yeah, the headline at theothermccain.com this week was Joe Biden blames crime surge on mythical rogue gun dealers. President Joe Biden launched and I am quoting here from, I think, the Associated Press. Well, anyways, President Joe Biden launched a new crime prevention strategy Wednesday in a push to take on soaring gun violence as Republicans blame a rise in crime on calls from progressive activists to cut police funding. Now, folks, I want you to go and...
Hold it, wait a second. The ATF is a police agency.
Yeah, I know, but hang on a second. But I want you to go and read that sentence And if you, an English major, diagram it for me, because I am counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's got to be 35 words in this sentence. And I'm like, whoa, man, that would have gotten, they're trying to cram too much into a single sentence.
I'm so old, I remember contests about being able to convince people of something in 25 words or less.
Yes.
Right, well, I mean, a sentence, generally speaking, any sentence longer than 25 words, and it doesn't have a comma in it.
Well, any sentence longer than 25 words should have been written by Faulkner.
No, James. William James.
Okay.
I did some.
In a speech from the White House, Biden announced a zero tolerance policy for rogue gun dealers and a new focus by the Justice Department to try to stop the illegal sale of firearms. Now, folks, I went and actually researched rogue gun dealers. What are they talking about? Okay, well, this goes back to the story that USA Today did a big feature on so-called kitchen table gun dealers, okay? In other words, people who have a collection of, you know, 40, 50, 100 guns, okay? There's a lot of people like that, okay? And they will sell you a gun, you know, through Craigslist or eBay or whatever, you know.
No, they won't.
Well, but what I mean is their advertising is usually on the internet or something, and yeah, you can't sell through through mail or something. But anyways, but the point is, these are people who sell guns from their own home.
Guess what, Stacy? I used to have an FFL that operated out of my own house.
There you go. And it is claimed that some of these people are rogue gun dealers who are selling to the wrong people. Well, I think I know how criminals get guns.
Stacy, if you have a federal firearms license, unless you are selling to somebody else who also has a federal firearms license, or to certain kinds of government agencies, not all government agencies, right? You have to, in order to move the gun out of your inventory, have to call in to the national instant check.
NCIS.
Yeah, and you know, and basically, there is no gun dealer, no one with an FFL moves anything out of inventory without clearance from the FBI. That's,
yeah.
That, I mean, and your records are subject to inspection by the ATF at any time during your business hours. And so an ATF agent can just walk in during your business hours, and even operating out of your home, you have to have business hours that the ATF can come, and they can look at your records and they can take them.
Yep.
And when you close down, you have to send your records to the ATF along, you know, with your expired license. Mine were turned in to the ATF warehouse in West Virginia, where, by the way, a sprinkler system went off and ruined them. So none of the firearms
none of the
firearms I sold are traceable.
Well, but anyways,
but that's,
this focus on guns and gun dealers. I have seen someone, and I forget where I saw it, said they're basically doing the Chicago excuse, right?
Yeah.
Which every time in Chicago, every time the murder rates that come, well, they're coming from outside the city, the guns, that is. And
well, that's
and,
probably true, because.
But the thing is, why aren't these guns from Indiana or Michigan or wherever, why aren't these guns causing murders where they come from?
Well, hold it. It has to be true because, look, Smith & Wesson is in Massachusetts, and Colt is in Connecticut, and Ruger is in Arizona, and, okay, you see where we're going? Of course they're coming from outside Chicago. None of them are made there.
here's the honest truth. A gun is a hunk of, these days, plastic and metal. It sits there. Without somebody doing something with it, it just sits there.
Oh, now you go. There you go. Unfairly bringing moral agency into this.
Hey, I'm sorry, but you know, I like guns. I shoot them. I approve of them. They're interesting tools, and they're interesting, complex tools with lots of moving parts. And if you read it, you look at the exploded diagram, it's really cool. But all by its little lonesome, a gun does nothing. It just sits there, and if you aren't nice to it, it rusts. So I'm sorry, this whole thing about this concept of these scary rogue gun dealers. Okay, who are they dealing in? Okay, let's make the mad assumption that there is such a thing, that there's some dark, deep, horrible person who secretly deals guns out their back door. Then who are they selling them to?
Well, there were one of the cases that they talked about, one of the cases, the USA Today story, and I don't know if I linked it on the blog, but one of the things that they were dealing with, it was anecdotal, okay, is that there's this little trick you can use where you do scary statistics, okay, dramatic story, okay, and
it's called clickbait.
Right, right. Well,
the rule of anecdote is not data.
Well, anyways, but the question is, it has been researched and found that the average time to crime, okay, for a gun, okay, in other words, that the average gun used in a crime is 8 years old. It's been since it was first sold. Okay, according to research.
And it's an incredibly tiny percentage of guns used in crimes by the original purchaser.
Mm-hmm. Right, and criminals, what do criminals like to do? Oh, they like to steal. And what do you think criminals might like to steal the most? Guns! Right? And so idea that it is the dealers, okay, but they did find some cases, right, where straw buyers, okay, there was this one guy who had bought like 80-something guns from one place, okay, and, from one of these kitchen table dealers, okay, now it didn't implicate the dealer, but the dealer had some paperwork problems, and so they yanked his license, but there was this one guy that was buying a lot of guns, and one of the guns that he bought ended up being used in a mass shooting in Texas.
So wait, he bought 80 some guns, and one got used in a mass shooting.
Right, and this.
Well, but the thing is that dealer, if he had been acting responsibly, why would someone be buying that? I mean, it would be one thing if he had bought like 80 collector items. You know, like if he'd come in and bought a C-96 Mauser and a German Navy Luger, and you know, it was buying collector guns like that. But what do you want to bet that he was buying Glocks?
Yeah,
and AR-15s. And you know, once again, if the guy was buying a Glock in every caliber or something like that, I might worry about the guy's taste. But you know, if they're all not, you know, you buy 89 millimeter Glocks from me, and I'm going to call. Well, first of all, if he'd done it in Maryland, even a kitchen table dealer, all those sales would have been reported to the Maryland State Police here.
Who would have looked at it and said, why
"Yeah, I'm sure if my phone would have rung." And I can tell you right now, where I was a dealer like that was California, and I can tell you if I had turned in 80 tickets like that to the state attorney general's office, my phone would have been ringing.
Oh, yeah, let me get to the story. And I'm excuse me if I extend this a little further. It's pretty interesting.
That's okay.
It was an AR-15 style rifle that was used in a 2019 shooting spree in a movie theater. Okay, the dealer, it was sold by, this AR-15 was sold by a dealer named Danny Delashaw, 68 years old, okay? And what had happened was that his best customer, okay, he had, Marcus Brazil, bought more than 94 firearms from him over a span of 3 years, according to federal prosecutors. Okay, and so this Brazil character got the AR-15 that ended up in the hands of Seth Aaron Ator, 36, who in Midland and Odessa committed this crime before being shot by police. He had previously tried to buy a gun, was blocked in 2014 because he failed a background check because a court had determined he was mentally unfit. In 2016, Brazil purchased this guy, and this is how it ended up in this guy's hand. Now, as I said, anecdotes and statistics.
Well, but let me get it. Tell you what went wrong there. Okay, someone had to fill out the background check form and sign it saying that I am the actual purchaser of this gun.
Right.
And sounds to me like he lied on the ATF form, which is a federal felony. You know, that's like lying on the ATF form saying that you're not a drug user.
Well, yes, but the criminal doesn't, criminals don't tell the truth.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, my God. Criminals lie?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I'll start believing that they're really interested in enforcing this law when I see the news of Hunter Biden's indictment.
Yeah, right. Never going to happen.
Until then, they can just be quiet.
Well, Marcus Brazil of Lubbock, Texas, pleaded guilty to unlicensed firearm dealing.
Okay. So the guy who sold them to Brazil isn't the criminal here. So the fact that they're talking about this guy who sold the guns to Brazil is nonsense. But they're somehow or other trying to make this guy the bad guy.
They're trying to make the facts fit the narrative. And well, not without lying.
Well, once you start applying actual logic to the situation.
There you go
Are
again.
Are we allowed to do that anymore?
Yeah. Well, it all depends. I had another That 70s Show post this week.
Boy.
It's a picture of the president while he was making his gun speech. And I included a quote, though, from 1974 from him that says, I'm about as liberal as your grandmother. That's what that's how he described himself when he was just getting into the Senate. But it's you know, the other thing, things that I had on the internet is I had this Are You Pondering What I'm Pondering thing that happens every once in a while. And I think so, Brain. But couldn't we get an F-15 by exploiting the air show loophole?
I loved it.
That, and you may remember there's this flag that's associated with the Alamo that has a picture of their cannon and the Lone Star and Come and Take It. Well, I retooled that with a picture of the Fat Boy Hiroshima bomb.
Yeah, I like that one.
F-15s and nukes, folks.
As Larry Correa said, are you kidding me? Who maintains those things? And do you think you're going, they're all on your side? Back of government?
Well, as Kurt Schlichter pointed out, a substantial amount of the F-15s are in the hands of the Air Guard in red states.
Yeah.
You know, and this is, you know, my son is in the military, as you know, regular listeners know, and the idea that this, you know, this kind of language being used by the commander in chief,
who, by the way, does have the nuclear codes,
and then when you add this to what the chairman of the woke chiefs of staff said this week about white rage, it's like, why would anyone under the current circumstances, who would actually join the military?
Look, I'm so old that I spent my time in the Army shooting at communists. And just to show you how far back that is in time, every single Vietnam veteran is now old enough to be drawing Social Security retirement benefits. Mm-hmm. That's how disconnected from that kind of fight we are. But this whole gun control thing is really a boutique issue. They're white liberals who want it, and almost no one else. I mean, the huge increase in gun sales to minorities, especially blacks living in urban areas,
and
you know, yeah. But I mean, the task force that Biden is talking about starting. What are the cities? San Francisco, L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, New York,
St. Louis, Baltimore,
right?
New Orleans.
Well, no, I mean, just the big six cities. I guess with St. Louis would be the sixth city on that list. How many of those have had a Republican mayor in the last 30 years?
Don't make me laugh.
How many of them had a Republican mayor in the last 100 years? Chicago had. Chicago
had Jordan.
Right. Chicago had a Republican mayor in the 20s.
You know, I you know, we're going to have to really get down to talking to about some things that may offend people.
Tough.
Yeah, I mean.
Did you ever stop to realize that some of the stuff they say offends me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just because they happen to have this boutique issue, doesn't mean that it's a winning issue for them. Actually, I'm hoping that they'll emphasize gun control. I'm hoping. Well, it looks like they figured out voter ID.
Ah.
You know.
At last.
Well, you know, like. Blacks and minorities, Democrats are in favor of voter ID like 3-1. So it's like they're beginning to understand. I mean, even Stacey Abrams has said, well, no, I've never been opposed to voter ID.
Like, sure, what? She hasn't.
Well, let's go to the tape, folks. Look, but on the other hand, look, there's a few zip codes in a few blue states where the money's
you
coming from.
You misspelled Stacey Abrams. She has, well, Stacey has an E
in it. Yeah, well, that's okay.
Hers does.
Either that or autocorrupt changed it. But I hate autocorrupt. But, you know, the money comes from those zip codes, but the votes don't. The population isn't that great in those zip codes. And that's the rub, because while the 2020 election may have been a good pilot run for the use of technology to manage how election outcomes go, it's clear that the Democrats' system still's got some bugs, and they may actually have to rely on actual votes for the next few elections. And so they really are going to have to start paying attention to their own base. Either that, or it's... They're going to see the same thing happening across the board that's happened with Hispanics last year. People aren't going to vote for Democrats.
Well, so. I mean, you know, speaking of the guns, I believe that one of the things that has caused the crime surge that we've experienced is that a lot of people took their COVID money and went out and bought guns. You know, you're 18, 19 year old kid living at home. Right? Go out and buy yourself a pistol. You know
what? Well, actually, you can't buy a handgun until you're 21. But a lot of younger people did wind up buying rifles and shotguns.
Right, and so the idea that this may be related to it, and as you know mutually assured destruction at the local level is that if I was living in Baltimore, if I was a teenager in Baltimore, I wouldn't leave the house without a pistol. and so if black kids are shooting black kids in downtown Baltimore, or it's not always there's such a thing as an innocent victim. And then there are people who are not exactly innocent.
What my brother, as a former police officer, describes as misdemeanor murder.
Yeah, and by the way, this NFAC militia, right? Okay, I may not like some of their politics, but hey, if you want to amass an arsenal, right? Well, that's America. That's Second Amendment, and they're talking about these four guys. Now, they were harboring a fugitive, right? And I'm going to guess that not all of them have clean records, okay? And one of the ways that you can be disqualified from owning a firearm is to be convicted of a felony.
Or a misdemeanor that can get you up to 2 years.
Right, and so the felon in possession of a firearm is a serious issue, and you didn't hear an effing word from Joe Biden about that in his speech. The problem is, and Trump was doing good on this. He had a task force. The DOJ was cracking down and putting people in federal prison. Felon in possession of a firearm is a federal crime.
Well, it's a crime in most states as well. But I'm sure that Biden will do something, and he'll do it fast and furious.
Crash.
Meanwhile, we don't have Trump to kick around at the moment, so we've got DeSantis derangement syndrome.
Yeah, this was very popular. As a matter of fact, my good friend Doug Hagan mentioned it in his podcast. He's got a podcast. I don't know if you remember our old blog buddy, Doug Hagan of Daily Gator, now podcasting out there. And I actually downloaded the app to get it. It's on a different app than the Podbean app, so I had to download his app to listen to it. But meanwhile, back in the ranch, on my blog, The Other McCain, the headline is DeSantis Derangement Syndrome. Last week's LGBT Pride Parade in the Broward County, Florida community of Wilton Manors was struck by a tragedy when a truck went out of control and ran over two members of the Fort Lauderdale Gay Men's Chorus, killing one of them and severely injuring the other. The truck, as it turns out, was driven by a 77-year-old member of the Fort Lauderdale Gay Men's Chorus who, because of health problems, was unable to walk the parade route, so the organizers had chosen him to drive the lead vehicle in the parade. Right? His foot slipped and he hit the accelerator by accident. But immediately after this accident, before it was known what had happened, Democrats pounced. Fort Lauderdale Mayor Dean Trantalis Democrat, said that an incident in which a pickup truck ran into a crowd at a pride parade was a, quote, terrorist attack against the LGBT community, close quote.
Well, that's the narrative.
Yes, he said, he told local TV station WPLG, this is exactly what it is, partly an accident, it was deliberate, it was premeditated, and it was targeted against a specific person, close quote. He said, referring to Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who
was
in
office.
Apparently, I had forgotten about her.
Yeah, but she's still in office.
Yeah, but she was in a riding in the parade in a convertible, and she was nearby, and they looked, and on that Saturday when this happened, the hashtag DeathSantis was trending because liberals had just this weird way that liberals think, their synapses are not wired correctly. They have decided that this terrorist attack was somehow related to a law that DeSantis had signed into law just recently, the new anti-riot law, which among other things makes it a crime to block traffic, okay?
And it makes a presumptive defense that if you have to run over people to escape something like that.
If you're attacked by a mob and have reason to believe your life is in danger, you can run over them.
Sounds like a plan to me.
But this had nothing to, even if, right, this had been what, they thought it was a terrorist attack, right? This thing. Even if it wasn't an accident, even if someone had intentionally driven a truck, and this wouldn't have been have anything to do with the law that DeSantis signed. This is just a complete non sequitur.
Well, yes, but it's the narrative.
Right.
Okay. Well, and whatever the narrative is, it ain't news. Which brings us to Rachel Maddow.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Back in 2019, she stated on her cable show that One American Network was, and this is a quote from her, really literally is paid Russian propaganda. Well, OAN sued her for that, claiming it was defamatory. And, of course, she won using the same defense that Alex Jones may win with in some of his lawsuits, and that Tucker Carlson has in fact used, is that what she does isn't news. Basically, her defense was that what she presents is exaggeration, hyperbole, and pure opinion, and no reasonable person would assume that her outlandish accusations are factually true, even when she says they are. So, you know, in other words, she's a political activist with a byline. She does not present news. You know, given her ratings, I think her audience is probably also figuring out she isn't entertainment either.
She's actually the highest rated host on MSNBC, believe it or not.
Well, no, I could understand that.
And she's the highest rated host on MSNBC, and there have been times when she actually beat Hannity in the 9 o'clock slot. But things have gotten, since Trump left office, things have gotten bad for the liberal media.
Yeah, well.
And by the way, are we queued up over there?
Oh, we're dead rolled into the end of the show, so don't worry about it. We're actually getting ready to move along from her to a different crazy people are dangerous. Crazy people are dangerous. And in this case, it's the Prevention Advocacy and Resource Center at Brandeis University. They publish a list of oppressive, violent words that we're not supposed to be using now. This is Newspeak going absolutely apeshit. Guess what has made it to the list of violent words we're not supposed to use?
Trigger
warnings. might remind somebody of a gun. So I basically have a nice post up that shows that Roy Rogers' horse.
So.
A trigger warning.
Yes.
Trigger warning, yeah. And you know, the thing is, the idea, and this goes back to the 90s, by the way, when they first started
goes back to 1948 when Orwell published the book.
But it was in the 1990s and when they began to claim that words were violent.
Yeah.
Okay, that speech itself was violence, that you could ban certain kinds of speech because they were inherently acts of violent. And so this speech police, the thought police, as I call them, borrowing from our good friend Mr. Orwell, but the speech police, he's over there looking at this. This is just, it's insane. It is quite literally insane. And you know, you were seeing insane behavior caused by, word salad nonsense.
But the danger is that by corrupting the language to the point where people don't have the words to think properly, you know, that's the problem.
Right.
That's the danger in this kind of craziness. And we need to really be standing up for the language.
Right. Is that if you can't speak truth, if you can't tell people, no, you are not non-binary.
Or if you just can't express the truth because the person doesn't have the words to communicate.
Right.
But we have the words to communicate, and we do it every weekend.
7 o'clock on Saturday night is our usual time, folks, and we will be back here next weekend, 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Great to hear you again, Diana.
Yeah, you have no idea how happy I am.
We're happy for you.
We'll see you next week.
And we'll see you next week.
Good night, folks.
Good night.